Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been doing a sermon series on renewing our faith in Christ, renewing our lives in Him. We've talked so far in the last few weeks about renewing our lives by the Word of God, by prayer, and this week, by praise, and especially by music. And how does God renew our lives? Through music. And how can you renew your life through songs of praise to God, through Jesus Christ? That's what we'll talk about today. Let's start out with a couple of verses here from Scripture. We read in Psalm 33, verses 1 and following, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Praise the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to Him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness." Or check this one out from Proverbs 29. "An evil man is ensnared in his transgression, but a righteous man sings and rejoices." How about Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and following? "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. Always and everything, giving thanks in the name of Jesus Christ to God the Father." So God's will for us, friends, is that our lives would be filled with songs of praise to Him. And so today, how does this benefit us? And what does God have to say to us about renewing our lives through music, and especially music sung to the glory of His name? What can we say about that? Well, first of all, I don't know if you think about it this way, God is often portrayed as sort of an expressionless king in a lot of popular culture, as a majesty sitting upon his throne in a very dull kingdom. Or if you sing at all, it's this Gregorian chant that maybe some people like, but, you know, it's pretty difficult to listen to. But you know what? The Scripture portrays God a whole lot differently, as a God, a king, a majesty who has regal throne songs before Him all the time, who loves music and who fills His kingdom with melodious voices and melodies. And in fact, let's read a little bit about that. See if I can prove that to you first off. Job 38. God is questioning Job. He says, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" You know that in the very beginning of creation, there was great music at God's creating the world? How about in heaven right now? The cherubim sing, it says in Revelation chapter 4. It says that day and night, the creatures around God never cease to sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." And whenever they do that, the 24 elders, the saints in heaven, cast their crowns before the throne, and they sing, "Worthy art thou, our Lord and God." A whole lot of music up there. In fact, the whole of Revelation seems to be a thunderous chorus of exultation in God. How about nature? God created nature, right? Has He put music into nature? Let's read here in Isaiah 44 for a second. Isaiah 44, it says, God says, "I've swept away your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like mist. Return to me, for I've redeemed you. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, O depths of the earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, O forest, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and will be glorified in Israel." So, in a sense, music is in nature for sure, isn't it? I mean, can't you hear God's music and His voice, in a sense, in the wind, in the thunder, in the cataracts of Niagara Falls, in the crickets' song, in the whale's song? God gave to each of these creatures their music and into nature. God's a God of music. God's people sing in the Bible. You hear about David singing with his harp to King Saul to drive away the demon. Israel sang, the apostles sang, and Jesus, right before He goes out to be crucified, right that night of the Garden of Gethsemane, it says He sang a hymn and then went out to the Mount of Olives. Our Lord Jesus sang. And you know, I love this voice. This verse, I just discovered it really this week. Do you know that God sings over us? It says in Zephaniah 3, The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on the day of a festival. Think about that. Our God's a God of music, friends, and his will for us is that we would sing. And infidelity, unbelief, atheism really has no songs or anthems or choruses or symphonies. You know what? When you have no music in the world, that's associated with being dead. When you have music and life, when you have life and joy, that's associated with song. There's a great, a famous atheist, I should say. Robert Ingersoll died, and know what was written of his funeral. His orders were, there shall be no singing. No singing at the funeral. But what do we sing for as Christians? What do we sing about? Jeremiah 21 says, O sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers. From the hand of evildoers. We've been rescued from the hand of the evildoer, namely the devil. We've been rescued from the wrath of God. We've been rescued from sin. We've been rescued from evil. We've been brought into the kingdom of grace. We have a whole lot to sing about. Amen, as Christians? My goodness. So God's word for us this week in renewing our lives is we can be and are renewed through song, songs of praise to God. But some of you might be saying, but I don't really sing. I'm not really very musical. Well, remember the story of the lady who was in the choir and she got really upset one day, and then that Sunday she didn't come to church, and people started to remark how great the organ sounded. Did they fix it? Well, okay, all right, not all of us are equally gifted in music, but you know what? All of us are musical, and if only the prettiest bird in the forest sang, the forest would be silent. And if you've ever had your three-year-old son or daughter come and sing a lullaby to you and be totally off-key, as a parent listening to that, it's the most beautiful sound you've ever heard. And God listens to us that way, too. When we sing, we're to sing, Paul says, with our whole heart, songs of thanksgiving to God and praise. And so if you don't sing that great on the outside, God is listening to you on the inside. And so we should take great courage to sing, for this is the will of God for us. This is what he redeemed us for, that we'd sing praises to him. So, how does God then renew us? Through music. Well, did you know that there's great power in praise? Listen to this from Acts chapter 16. This was a pretty bad day for Paul, in a sense. It says, the crowds joined in attacking Paul and Silas, and the magistrates tore off their garments from them and gave orders to beat them with rods. Whack! And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison and charged the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. This is a depressing day. Inflicted many blows upon them. In fact, I calculated once how many blows Paul had. Five times I received the hand of the Jews, the 40 lashes less one. That's like 195 blows and lashes on his back. Just blows. Well, here he is, dark in a dungeon after getting beaten up all day long and thrown into this dark, fettered place. And it says, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake and the foundations of the prison were shaken. Just think about that. And then the jailer actually comes to faith because he was listening to the hymns and songs. Do you sing when you're down in the dumps, when you've had a bad day? Paul and Silas did. And what did they find through it? They found fresh courage. They found a fresh heart. It lifted their souls, and they had deliverance. I was sailing years ago on the state tall ship of California, the Californian, and I was a little afraid one night. Things were not going so well on the boat. It was kind of a dangerous place at times, and I came on deck just kind of unsettled and disturbed and fearful on a night watch. And as I'm walking back to stand my watch back by the wheel, I go past the mainmast, and there's Don Kiecki, a friend of mine, a fellow crewman, who is sitting there just playing a soft little melody very quietly by the mainmast on his harmonica. And I'll tell you, just hearing the voice of that little instrument, not even singing praise to God, It just dispelled my fears, and it brought a great calm to me and renewed me that night. And that's just a little measly harmonica at sea. How much more the songs of the living God, praised from the lips of people or from my own lips, is going to renew me. How about this also? Music unites us. God blesses us in that way. Our ancestors, years ago, all used to get together to sing in various works that they had. There was, I'm singing on the railroad, I'm working on the railroad. There were songs for tall ships and sea shanties and sailing men. There were songs for lumberjacks. There were probably songs while you're sewing. There were songs for nations. But now we've kind of lost that a lot. Where else in the world today do people still really get together on a regular basis to sing other than it's preserved in God's church? Here's the one place we get united together. In fact, I remember on the Nathaniel Battich, another schooner that I was on up in Maine, we didn't allow radios. We didn't allow people to bring their own music. And for that whole week, you'd think there would be no music on the boat. But the amazing thing was, is we're musical people. We're designed by a musical God. And if you take away the radios and everything that does the work for you, it just starts to spring out of you like a spring, a well, gushing forth. And we would sing at night and through the day as we're working. And I'll tell you, when we get everybody out there under the stars and begin singing, whether it be a sea shanty or a hymn together or some other song, it just united the crew in a way that was beyond understanding, in a supernatural kind of way. And how much more when we as God's people sing together are we fulfilling and blessed, as it says in John chapter 17, that they may be one even as we are one. Also, God gives us victory through songs. You know that? 2 Chronicles 20, we read here that they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God and you'll be established." They're facing great armies who are ready to butcher them. Okay? And he says, "Believe the prophets and you will succeed." And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy array. And they went before the army and they said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. Oh, think about that. When we praise God in song, at least in this verse, God went before the armies of his people and routed them such that Israel had nothing to do but clean up the spoil. Russ Kopp, who's come to our church a number of times, talks about when he was in war in Iraq and he was getting shelled and bombed. And everybody was quiet. They're getting this thundering booms outside, right outside next to him. And he decided he would just start praising the Lord. And you know his voice, don't you? "Praise the Lord." And all the other people were like, "Who said, is that cop? Is that cop praising the Lord? What's he praising God about?" And he stayed quiet and someone said, "Well, we ain't dead yet, are we?" How about you when you're getting shelled in your life that you praise the Lord with a big boom of your voice and song? It does wonderful miracles. In fact, there was a bunch of Christians in Armenia once that they were getting surrounded by the Muslims some years ago. They were chanting outside. The Muslims were to destroy, defeat to the infidels and death. And the Christians inside began to sing a hymn. And by the time they were done, all outside, the crowds had dispersed and gone away. God works wonderful miracles through praise in song. I was once going into the hospital in Baltimore. I was afraid, and I started being a good Lutheran. I sang "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God" to myself, and I was totally changed, and I got victory. It was a beautiful day. So God wants us to be singing. "Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field and everything in it. Then the trees of the wood shall sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." So, music is powerful. Amen? But not all music is of the Lord, is it? There's a whole lot of music out there in the world, my friends, that we're listening to every day, music being powerful, that casts darkness over our souls, that leads us astray, and we don't even really realize it or be vigilant against it. Is all music holy? Think about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai. Joshua said to him, "There's a noise of war in the camp." But he said, "Ah, it's not the loud shouting of for victory or the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing that I hear." And when he came down, the people were worshiping and following this golden calf. And Moses burned with anger, as did God, and 300 people fell dead that day. Unholy music. Is there unholy music out in the world today? You know what? The devil's not a bad musician. Can I just tell you about that? The devil doesn't stink at music. He's very good and skilled at playing delightful tunes. Can I just read a couple that I came across this week, just randomly, about songs we probably like, but the words that go with them? Can you imagine just meditating on these words without the tune? How about Billy Joel? "She's always a woman to me." All right? Heard this one. "She can kill with a smile, she can wound with her eyes, and she can ruin your faith with her casual lies. She'll take what you give her as long as it's free. Yeah, she steals like a thief, but she's always a woman to me." Yeah, that's the girl I want to go out with. This woman's a train wreck. She's not a woman. Is this lifting your soul up to noble thoughts about what a woman is, or is it dragging you down? But you listen to it, and I listen to it. Why? Because the tune is so wonderful. How about this one? Sting, "I'll Be Watching You." Remember that? "Oh, can't you see you belong to me? Now my poor heart aches. With every step you take, I'll be watching you." Listen to this, though. It goes on. "Every move you make, every vow you break, every smile you fake, every claim you stake, I'll be watching you." This is the music of a stalker. We need a restraining order out on this man. Every smile? Goodness, get this man locked up. How about this one? John Lennon, "Imagine." This is one of the best little tunes. It seeps into your soul. You find yourself afterwards singing it, when in fact, would you as a Christian meditate on these words? "Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today." Is this a song of God? Is this darkness drawing you away and you're not even paying attention to it? You just listen, it's a nice song. Oh, I love that beautiful melody. But you're meditating on thoughts that are casting a darkness and not lifting you up to noble things. And can I give you maybe the Greg Lucier's Casey Kasem Top 40 number one hit of the week? "Rock-a-bye, baby, on the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall. And down will come baby, cradle and all." Yeah, sweet dreams, child. Sweet dreams. Are you kidding me? That person should be locked up. Nice little tune, though. But amazing the things that we get to meditate upon. And the words that we would never normally listen to, we rejoice in a sense, because of the music. So what I'm saying to you today is not that you should not listen to rock music or not listen to this or that or be a legalist, but I'm saying you've got to be vigilant. It says in Proverbs, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." Is the music that you're listening to through the week lifting your soul up to noble thoughts? To love, to faith, to courage, to laying down your life for each other, to the praise of Jesus Christ? Or is it leading you away to the arousing of your passions, to the love of the world, to, as so many songs are today, losing all control, being wild, living for that moment, letting everything go? We rejoice in that as a culture, but is that a godly thing? Is that lifting you up? I thought it was self-control was the fruit of the Spirit. So keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. And it's not only the words. Sometimes it's the music that can get to us. Do you know that there was an experiment done in 1973 at a Denver college where they had plants in identical rooms? And there was one that had rock music, that one that had soothing music. Later on, they played Led Zeppelin and what was the other guy? Jimi Hendrix for these other plants. And these plants all, after 15 days, were on the verge of death. They were they were growing away from the music of the radio. The plants with the soothing, melodious music were actually growing to it and were abundantly good. Same thing in both rooms. One was blossoming and one was dying. Does that mean that we shouldn't have any rock music? I'm not saying that. We all got different tastes. I'm not going to be a legalist here. Some churches have more of a rock music type of atmosphere, and I'm not going to condemn them for it. Why? Remember our Old Testament lesson today? Here's David whirling and dancing before the Lord in just a linen ephod, and his wife Michael is over there going, oh, how the king has disgraced himself today with this dancing and whirling. And he says, I will disgrace myself even more than this, for it was before the Lord that I was dancing. And she had no children to the day of her death. So let's not look down on other Christians who worship in other ways than we do. And I don't look down on you if you worship in other ways too with those kinds of things. But what we do need to do is be careful, because some music types can actually grate on our soul and lead us down as well. But God wants us to lift us up, just like David came and played a harp for Saul and lifted up his soul. Just like in Greek mythology, the sirens, the sisters were there, were calling, come over here, run your ships aground on our reefs because of their beautiful music, and none of the sailors could resist it. But Jason of the Argonauts had Orpheus with him, who played his beautiful music and overcame the evil sounds over there, and their ship was saved. We got to play good music, friends, is the point, in order to overcome the evil music that we are surrounded by and tempted to listen to a whole lot. There were riots this week up in that state fair in Wisconsin. Betty Duda was once at such a place, at a state fair where the gangs started to get in a fight and want to kill each other. And someone, she told me, quickly ran and told the people in charge of the music. They were playing rock music. They said, quickly, put on something different. Put on classical. And all these gangs are starting to rumble. And they put on classical music and they dispersed. You cannot fight to handle people, okay? Well, how about your life, though? I just want you to know today, music is very powerful. And we shouldn't just put on anything. If you listen to whatever you listen to, just listen with diligence and vigilance and care, and surround yourself with love, with music that's going to lift you up to good things and to courage and to noble thoughts and to heaven. Think of these words, if I could just read them to you here. Who am I? This is from Casting Crowns, Christian band. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Or Chris Tomlin, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. Oh, that's the kind of thing that lifts me up. And so that's what I'd encourage you for today too. Things that preach the gospel, grace and forgiveness, or if not that, at least something that is not bad for you. And then one final example here, Oral Hershiser, remember him? He was a pitcher. He was on a different mound, okay, for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and he pitched in a great World Series, and on the ninth inning, he's actually the most valuable player of the series. In the ninth inning, he was seen over against the wall of the dugout, and his lips were moving. Well, a couple days later, he was on the Johnny Carson show, and he said, hey, so we saw your lips were moving there. He's like, yeah, they were moving. And he says, well, what were you saying? And Oral said, I wasn't saying anything. And he said, well, what were you doing then? He says, I was singing. He says, oh, you're a singer. I didn't know you were singing. He says, no, I'm not really a singer. So he says, well, would you sing for us what you sang that night in the dugout in the ninth inning? He says, no, I don't want to sing. No, come on, sing. No, I'm not really a good singer. Come on, sing. And the audience starts going, sing, 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 sing. So kind of shy Oral Hershiser then says, oh, okay, I guess so. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below.
Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
And Carson was like, and the audience was dead silent. And then one person in the audience began to go, and the whole place erupted in a thunderous applause, praising him for singing this song. And when we sing our songs of praise before the world, before ourselves, it puts to silence the ignorance of foolish men and lifts up those around us and lifts us up, gives God the glory, and gives us the victory. And so this is what I'm going to encourage you to be doing this week. We can renew our lives, people, through God's will. He's told us it's his will to be singing praises to him always and having music be one of those things that lifts us up. It's the songs of the kingdom. And so my challenge to you then this week is this. You've each received "O Worship the King," this little song here. We'll sing that right now as an exercise for next week when we'll sing it as our first hymn for the service. And we're not going to open our books. We're not going to open any bulletins. We're going to memorize this one this week. Okay? And I'm not saying you have to sing only hymns and not other types of music, but I just chose this one for all of us to sing together so that we have one thing we're doing all together. I'll bet you if you memorize this week and sing it, it is going to change your heart. It's going to change your day, and it's going to change your life. So shall we do that now? Go ahead. Let's stand. Keep your eyes open this time.
O worship the King, O glorious above, O gratefully sing his power and his love, our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. O tell of his might, O sing of his grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space, his chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. This earth with its store of wonders untold, almighty thy power hath founded of old, established it fast by a changeless decree, and round it hath cast like a mantle the sea. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light, it streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
Don't I feel better now? All right.